the wonderful words of life. Each time that we come to this part of the service, there's a great hallowed feeling that goes through my heart. Because when we go to speak these things, then I'm always reminded that this is the words of the Lord, either speaking as they've given it, as his own words, or as spoken by the Spirit of Christ through some minister, whether it's Paul or whoever it might be, Peter, James, John. Still God speaking, and of course, if it's God speaking through Brother Pike, it's still the Lord. Through Brother Taylor, it's still the Lord. Let's read a little bit from the book of Ephesians, if you've got your Bibles. Chapter 2, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Beginning at the first verse. "Wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Chapter 3, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heir and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory." Now, he tells us here in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians that in time past, he says, we walked according to the course of the world. There is a course in the world. Paul spoke of finishing his course in Christ. There is a course of the world, and you that are bound by sin, and you that are in the world, you have the mind of the world, and inasmuch as you do, then that means that you are following your course. And someday you will finish your course in life, just like Paul finished his course. And when you walk according to the course of life, then that means that you are under the obedience under Satan. For the Bible said, "And Satan, or Lucifer, taketh into captivity the children of this world at his own will, at his own desire." He just takes them over. For if you'll notice, Paul says this concerning the children of disobedience. And he said, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So then obviously the mind that you had, the mind that you was born with, was a beast mind. And of course that beast mind, having the beast mind, then you did exactly what the beast had put in the hearts of Eve and Adam, your forefather. That is to say, Adam not being found in the transgression, but through the weakness of Eve, Adam partook. And there's something to be considered, and that is, if you walk according to that mind, you've never been born again. And you are the children of wrath. That is, the wrath of God abideth upon you because you cannot believe. We are saved by the faith of Jesus Christ, whereas I read it to you again right here in the scripture. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. And I brought it out how on the way Paul was struck down in the way, that is, going up to Damascus, and it was said to him, turn my people to the faith which is in me, the faith by which they're sanctified. So then we receive grace, and we have been saved. Saved that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So then we're God's workmanship. But he tells us here that we were under the control of an invisible force, which is the powers of Lucifer, for he is the prince of the powers of the air. Jesus said one time, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing in me. That is, he's never found any place in me. I've never given place to him. But he said, the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of the power of the air. The Bible said the very days are evil, which means there are demon spirits everywhere. The whole world is filled with demon spirits, and they're cut off in darkness, and they're trying to get into a human body. And the Bible said we are wrestling against spiritual powers of wickedness. These that are in the high places, that is, they're up into high places as to spiritual powers and dominion. And we're wrestling against these. As a matter of fact, when Daniel prayed, fasted 21 days, he was praying for an answer as to know what would befall his people in the latter times. He was trying to carry on his daily duties as keeping his natural job, to make provisions for self, to please the king. And during this time, he was still fasting and praying and trying to please the heavenly king. And Daniel making intercession by prayer, the Bible said when the angels of God was given the commission by God to go down and answer Daniel's prayer, that these ran into a host of power of evil. And the angels that are bound in darkness cut Daniel off. Being between heaven and earth, they cut Daniel off to where he could not get through to get the answer. So Daniel continued to pray and fast so that his faith wouldn't waver. He prayed 3 times a day. And he did this to strengthen his faith, so his faith wouldn't waver. So he just held on. And the angels had to come down to answer Daniel's prayer. They ran into these evil forces and could not break through, and had to go back and get more strength as to more angelic beings to come to fight with the prince of Persia. Well, that is to say that the atmosphere about that place as to Babylon was so infested with devils and such a hard atmosphere that the devils were in control in such a powerful way that it had been committed to the control of a prince. See, The devil is the prince of this world. And he had committed the control of this particular place to the prince of Persia. Because there the powers of the Persians and the Medes were in control. And so then this power, this force, it had taken over. And it had such a control that the angel couldn't break through. The prince of Persia was so powerful with all of his forces. You know, the Bible said one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. And so then he had to break through. The angel had to break through. And finally, battling, Daniel holding on to give him reason to come or to have faith without wavering, it meant God had to answer. And when they broke through, he told Daniel, said, the first day you started to pray in Daniel, and the first day you called on the name of the Lord to get an answer, to know what was going to befall your people, so that we heard you, but we couldn't get down here to you. See, folks, this is where we get into problems. We don't hold on. We don't fast. We don't pray. We pray a little 3-minute prayer, and we say, Lord, you don't love us. God, we're still in problems. Lord, I know you heard me, and you could do something about this if you would. And we go pouting off like a little silly child, you know. When God didn't have nothing to do with it to begin with, we're the one that caused it. We're the one that gave place to the devil. God is good. He never does any of those wretched things that we blame him with. And he's always trying to get to us and gave the blood out of his veins, as I say, so often so that he could get to us. And then we, like a silly child, is always upset, you know, and blaming God because of our problems. Well, Daniel, he didn't do that. And when the angel came, he admired Daniel and he said, oh, thou beloved man of God. Instead of listening to accusations and Daniel giving place to the devil to become the enemy of God, he did what was necessary to sacrifice the flesh on the altars of God and to break down this resistance that was between him and God, the great Holy Spirit, like Jesus did when Jesus took his own body to Calvary. So then God gave Daniel the answer. But folks, we play around with too many things. You know, we're always playing around with things. We won't do right. We just won't do right. As a matter of fact, something comes to my mind right now. I heard today that somebody was watching these little movie reels or whatever, you know, you rent them and buy them, and I don't know just exactly what they are, Donald Duck and whatever they are, Mickey Mouse and I don't know, all kind of things, you know, and of course, it's not always Mickey Mouse, sometimes it's the Lone Ranger and Superman and whatever. But anyway, whatever it is, I heard that somebody got hold of some of these and their companion got on to them about it. Companion didn't want them to do it. And, of course, they said, everybody on the campground's got them. So I'd like for everybody that's got them on the campground to stand up. Would you do that for me? Everybody's got these things. Would you stand up? Ain't nobody on the campground got them? Right, what do you do about a thing like that? Remember, the Bible said all liars would have their part in the lake of fire. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm glad these folks ain't got none of them things. Of course, you know I don't believe that. Let's give them another hand. I know some of you's got her. You just won't be as honest as the woman was. But nevertheless, I'm just telling you, see, this is what spoils our vine. The little foxes spoil our vines. The person that lies will go to hell, but the person that's deceitful and covers their sins, they go to hell too. So it's like somebody that walked into my presence today. I had given them a little help a few days ago. And I just take them, they sent a person, you know, and they're doing things they didn't have no business doing. But I thought, well, I'll be kind and loving to them. And the rain comes on the just and the unjust, and I'll try to help them. So I helped them. I said, now, you know, don't do that no more. Like Jesus said, I forgive your sins, but go your way now and don't sin no more. I said, don't do that no more. You make everything right. Oh, we will. Just give us a couple of days and we will. So a couple of days went by and they didn't do it. And a week or so went by and they didn't do it. And today they come down to the home and they walk down the hallway and they just want to say, hello there, Brother Pike. And I was sitting there and been listening to some of my Bible tapes. And I said, well, hello there, brother. And I called his name and he thought all was well. Like Agag, you know, he thought all had passed by. My Joseph was standing there, and I took up a little parable, and I said, "And Joe, and it's like this." And I said, "And you can't do that, Joe." I said, "It's like this brother," I said, "doing the things he'll do, he'll go to hell for that." And I tell you, out the door he went. Out the door he went. When I told him face to face that he and his party would go to hell for doing the things that he was doing, he knew then that I didn't forget what I told him a few days ago. See, God isn't forgetful. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, God doesn't forget. And he wants you to do right. He wants you to do right. But anyway, let's get back to our thought here now. So that means somebody gave place to the prince of the power of the air. Paul says in the third chapter, he said, being a prisoner of the Lord, he said, I want you to know about my revelation and my knowledge and the mysteries of Christ. He said, in other ages it was hid, but now it's revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by his spirit. Whereas Paul said, I would that ye had the spirit of revelation so I could speak unto you by the spirit of revelation. And he says here that this great wonderful mystery has been made known unto us. And he says it's even to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heaven or heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose he had posed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So then he tells us here in the book of Ephesians that he hath given unto us a great wonderful knowledge. And he tells us here that we now have the knowledge of Christ to the intent or the extent that we know about the spiritual things. See, I can look around me. I don't know anything about anything because I don't see anything as to that which is in the air. But this is the age when scientists are looking around and they have certain kind of scopes and they have certain kinds of defining, and they can just pick the atomic particles out from around you. They can just bring it right down to the minute, and they can see the functioning of atoms all around you. So they're seeing the invisible, which is a type and a shadow of the day that we're living in, as to seeing spiritual things. When you get the scope just right, when you get everything narrowed down just right, then you look and you can see these invisible forces. You can discern devils, and you can discern good angels, and you can see these principalities and powers and all of these things that are around you that's in the heavenlies. You can see those, for now it's made known to the church since Calvary's to the rent veil, the manifold wisdom of Almighty God. So then I can see these things and I can tell they're there. I can walk by you and you can say, "Hello, Brother Pike." And I can walk by and I can pick up a devil or I can discern an angel. The Bible said, "Be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware." And it tells us that we're sitting in these heavenly places. And now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God of these heavenly places where we're sitting. And so then we find this wonderful mind of God, these wonderful things of God, like the vision I saw when I said, "Look at all of these things that are in heaven." And we're walking in heavenly places. And Satan is also going to and fro, and the Bible says that he's walking up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. The Bible said that God looked, and here was Satan walking up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now we say, "Well, stones of fire, that's us. We're the stones of fire." See, diamonds are considered stones of fire, and God said, "I will remember you when I come to make up my jewels or my stones of fire." Or that is to say, New Jerusalem is built out of these beautiful stones. These beautiful stones. The walls are built out of beautiful stones. And we are God's stones of fire. Some of us are worth more than others. There's a ruby and there is a topaz and there is a diamond and on and on and on. You know, all these rubies all these jewels as two rubies and garnets and all these kind of things. The Bible speaks of New Jerusalem being composed of. See, the city is built of these things. And that means you and me and somebody else and whosoever will. And Some are worth more than others. Some's value is great. Now, for instance, diamond value is great. It's hardly ever that diamonds lose their value. And some stones of fire, some jewels are greater than others. They're more priceless, as we would say, of great value to God. The Bible said a meek, humble spirit is of great value in the sight of God. And the Bible speaks of a virtuous woman. And it says the virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. For she is a crown to her husband's head. A wicked woman, the Bible said, it's like rottenness in his bones, as would say, a water in his blood. So then we find that God has his eyes on us, and Satan he sees walking up and down in the midst of us. And Satan is admiring these beautiful jewels. He wants to get his contaminated fingers on these jewels. He just wants to get a hold of these beautiful, radiant jewels because he's cut off from the heavenly things. And the Bible teaches he's only a reflector, and he is walking to and fro. And the Lord asked him in the days of Job, said, Satan, from whence comest thou? He said, from going to and fro in the earth. So he's walking to and fro in the earth. And he's walking in the midst of the stones of fire. And we see that now we are discerning these things that's in the midst of us. And we're beginning to tell what is the satanic forces and what is the godly forces. And God is causing us to learn by the mind of Christ how to differentiate. So then we are severing from the just and the unjust. And the Bible said now, having exercised our senses in Christ, we're able to discern between the good and the evil. So we can tell now that there is a devil that's going to and fro. We can tell that there is a Christ in our midst. But the Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So then we know that Christ is also here. And we also know that the Bible said that the angel of God encamped round about them that fear him. So the angel is there. Not only are the angels of God coming to you and I as ministering spirits, that is, as ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation, as to them, but also for them. These angels also minister for us, as to command something to be done, and the angel does it just like that. And these angels are at our command. The Bible said, command thou me concerning the works of my hand. The Lord said, going through the name of Jesus and the works of the Lord, by through the faith of Jesus Christ, and then say what you will, and it'll be done unto you. Decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass. So we see that we are now learning something that the world has never known. This was not revealed to men of the past. Back through the years gone by, it says, and this was not known. That is speaking up before Calvary, and even after Calvary, though it has been made known to us as through Paul to let us know it was available unto mankind, who is the overseer of the Gentile church. Yet in spite of all this, man has barely scratched the surface, and he didn't get into these things, and he didn't apply himself like Paul did. He didn't give himself wholly unto these things, and his prophet in might appear to all, as Paul said. And so then many of these things have been saved for our day. Here we are down here in this beautiful, beautiful day of the unveiling. And now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even to heavenly places. And here we are sitting in those heavenly places. So then we know what wonderful things is taking place. This is what excites me. I'm always going on a trip. As they say in the world, you know, they take a little dope or whatever and they get all pepped up with that and they take a trip. Well, I'm always taking a trip. I'm always on a trip. Every time you see me, I'm on a trip. You know, if I just got back from a trip, you can be sure I'll kind of like Sister Betty, I have her packing the suitcases for another. Like I was telling David Paul today, I said, David, I've got to do something for God. I said, I can't just sit here like this, David. I said, I've got to get back out into the fields of world evangelism. I said, I'm not happy unless I'm preaching to souls, because the day is racing. It's going away. I said, and I got a job to do. And David said, well, Dad said, I guess what it is, it's when you're called to do something that you're not happy unless you're doing that. Well, of course, that's true. All right, so then we're glad because we are on a trip. Somebody said, as the songwriter, I am on a journey to another country, shining out across the sea. You know, we're still moving. This great caravan keeps on rolling along. Things are happening. Someone would say, oh, Brother Pike, it's just not exciting in my world. But that's because you don't know Jesus. See, if you was in this world where I'm at, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. So it's such a wonderful, exciting thing to be in the world of spirit. Jesus said, my spirit, my words are spirit, and they are life. And these words that come to your listening ear, though, as I say so often, they strike your intellect because your human senses records these by the sound. But there's something within the sound that goes deeper than the sound and goes deeper than touching you in the brain. It goes down into a spiritual thing, down into your spirit on the inside of your heart. And there this wonderful glory is made known to you. And the Bible said from glory to glory, this wonderful revelation is revealed to you. And you just move on with God one step right after another until you transformate in your spirit and in your mind into the wonderful kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, here you are walking around the kingdom of God in the earth. And the Bible said the tabernacle of God was among men. So then you find that you're the tabernacle of God and you're walking around in the earth. And on the inside, God is there. This is the temple of the great God. And God is on the inside. And just somebody kind of knock at that door and he'll begin to speak. And he'll say, come in. And the Bible said he stands at the heart's door, knocks as to them that are out yonder. You know, and Solomon said he's out in the night. That is, they're in intellectual darkness and they've shut him out into the night because this world is a place of darkness and Satan is the ruler of that intellectual confusion and frustration of darkness. And the Bible said that darkness has blinded the eyes of the people of this world that they cannot see when good cometh. But see, your eyes are not blinded. Your eyes are open. For ye are children of light. Ye know that these things are nigh, even at the door. So then he stands at the door and knocks, Solomon said, in the darkness of the night. And he's trying to get in. He's trying to get in. Because Satan, having taken this body, has pushed him out into the darkness when the body is the Lord's and was made for the Lord. But he's been pushed out into the darkness and he's standing at the heart door knocking and he says, if you'll open to me, I'll come in and I'll sup with you and you can sup with me. But he's still out in the dark. It was said that he puts his hands upon the knob of the door and it drips with myrrh. You know, and he's standing there with the drops as to the dewdrops. He's standing there, the Bible said, with the drops of the night in his locks, where he is shut out, wanting to come in. And he's calling to his mate as the turtle dove. He's cooing to his mate. As to the springtime coming in, the little poppies put forth their faces. Then the Bible said, and the voice of the turtle is beginning to be heard in the land. That is to say, the turtle dove is calling to its mate. And right about now, this is the time when everything is beginning to blossom. See, when you think about the little poppies, you think about the springtime, you're talking about the resurrection. When you talk about the resurrection, you're talking about the children of God, because the Bible said we're the children of the resurrection. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. And so then he is the resurrection. He is the life. When he stood there by the tomb of Lazarus, and as Job said, can a man live again? He said, he'll live again. She said, I know he will. I know he will at the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. You don't have to wait for days and months. This is the beauty of having the revelation of the Son of God. You don't wait for days and months. Somebody said, someday, Brother Pike, the resurrection is coming. But if you remember, that day was everywhere Jesus walked. Everywhere Jesus walked. And when he said to the young man, get out of the casket. When he said, Lazarus, come forth. See, that was the day of resurrection. Somebody says, yes, with Jesus. But it was the same way with the prophet. It was the same way with Peter. When he walked over to Dorcas and he said, rise. Jesus walked over to the little girl and said, rise. And in the Old Testament, when the prophet went over to the little child and said, rise. See, the resurrection is already here. It's already here. It has been here, as Brother Taylor sings, all the time. The Spirit is life. It is resurrection. The Spirit of God is here. Where we gather together in the name of the Lord, Christ is in our midst. Even that Spirit, that invisible Spirit. But you can't see Him unless you're born again, because it's only made known to the church as to the manifold wisdom of God as to these heavenly places. So then you can neither see good nor bad. But they that are born again, they're walking with the Lord. Like the vision I saw when I walked with Him, and all of a sudden into me He went. Like that, He was there all the time. But it was invisible and I couldn't see Him. And while I tried to see Him, I found Him on the inside of me. And that's the way it is with you. He's right out there walking with you. Wherever you go, He's there. And if one time you'll repent of your sins, turn around and look in His direction to call on His name, He'll come in just like that on the inside of you. He'll move right into you, and there you'll be filled with the great love of God and the great Holy Spirit as to eternal life. So then now is made known to the church the wonderful mystery of God. And Paul said, I have a knowledge of this. I want you to know about this. I'm your overseer. But it's been made known to me because I've been caught up into the third heaven, he could have said. And I have this revelation and I have this knowledge. And you know, it brings back a vision I had last night. Might seem a little bit off key to what I'm saying, but fits right in about preparation and being ready. I was standing in this place, it's kind of a big place, like a living room, and everybody was asleep. It was way over in the night, and my wife was asleep. I remember she was there, she was asleep, and the children were sleeping. Everybody was asleep. I don't know how many people was there, a big old house, and they were asleep. And I was standing there about like this, looking up toward the balcony here, just about this far over the balcony, about that high, a little high there, something like that. And I was standing there, and I was looking, and I looked, and there lay a bear. There was a young bear. He looked real pleasant. He was laying right there on that ledge and just waiting for his chance to devour somebody. Wasn't nobody awake except me and Brother Atlee. Brother Atlee, he was standing there. And Brother Atlee, he was not asleep. He was awake, but he had not seen the bear. And as I was standing there, I said, Atlee, I said, look over here. I said, you see that bear? And all of a sudden, Atlee's eyes, you know, kind of lit up like we would say, and he saw the bear. And I thought, now, here lays the bear, and here we are. I thought, now, what would we do? Because I felt like he was laying there to everything get real quiet to where he could devour, you know, and real contented, like just lazy, like laying there. And I looked at Atlee, and all of a sudden, I came to realize that Atlee was prepared. He wasn't just awake, but he was prepared. He had his shotgun. And he was coming up with that shotgun and he was going to blast that bear. I had to quiet him down. No, no, Atlee, not in the night. You know, if we shoot that bear like that, well, everybody's going to come screaming and hollering and wake him up and all be hysterical. But he was prepared. The vision went away. But there's one thing I saw, that if Atlee was standing security, he hadn't seen the bear. But when I pointed the bear out to him, he was ready to blast him. So I thought about that, you know. This is something that we need to understand. There might be a bear around, folks. Who knows? Have you looked real close? You might ought to look real close. Daniel looked real close in a vision, and there was a bear. And he looked close, and there was a lion. And he looked close, and there was a leopard. See, and these things were around him all the time, and he had not seen them. There was that old leopard. There was that old lion. There was that old bear, and he had not seen them at all. See, maybe there's a bear close to you. Maybe he's laying around somewhere in your house, or maybe he's laying somewhere around with your neighbor, and he's just waiting to pounce on you. A lot of times, you know, there's people that they won't live like they ought to, but they're just as religious as they can be. But if you happen to go over to their den, they'll chomp on you and just about claw your eyes out. You know, like up here in town, they had a man, he was a judge. He was downstairs. Perhaps you've been into the devil's den. But anyway, he was downstairs and he prided himself in calling his place the devil's den. You remember that? That was the devil's den. And we prayed and there ain't no devil no more. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. So God moved him off of the scene. He must not like his testimony. But there are some devils around, and one of you can put 1,000 to flight, and two of you can put 10,000 devils to flight. But there's one thing that you need to remember, and that is that these devils are around. You understand what I'm saying? He said, well, how could I know a devil? They like movies. They like to gossip. They like to backbite. They like to have temper fits. They'll get angry and just pounce all over you and just smack you in the nose. Let's give the Lord one. Don't look at me so strange. I'm talking about devils. They'll borrow money from you and never pay you back. The wicked borrow, the righteous lendeth. But the wicked borrow and won't pay back. They'll make all kinds of deals with you and they'll fall through. Because the word ain't worth the time they took to say it. Come on, folks. What are we talking about? Somebody tell me, what are we talking about? What's our subject? So then now is made known unto us some of these things. Of course, some folks learn by lending. And they get acquainted with some of them. They discern them out pretty quick after the first, second, or third loan. But these that I'm speaking of are devils. Some of them are eating devils. They never get enough to eat. They eat and grumble and mumble. If you don't get the more to eat, they drink. They drink and they grumble if they don't have everything they want to drink. I just said, well, praise God, I'm glad I don't live on that street. Well, let's see what street you live on. We just keep on walking. Brother Taylor sings that song, Keep On Walking With The Lord. So then, there are some that they're so business-minded that's all they look forward to in life is having their business. Manipulating and cheating and swindling and doing anything to make a dollar when they make a deal. The way they go to make their deal when they go to look at the job or whatever they're going to do is with money in their mind and how much that they can take that fellow for. They don't go to size up the job to find out what it's worth. They go to find out the weakness of the man and how much they can get out of him. I'm talking about devils. And then we got traders and swappers that will buy something for $15 if they can steal it from the man without him knowing the worth. And then they'll go sell that thing for $1,500. Nudge and see. He don't know. He don't know. But God knows. God knows. And then when you put that little deal over, you've got yourself a nest egg. Isn't that right? But I know of heartaches and sorrows and deaths and my at those things because somebody did that. I know of a number of cases. They did that. But nevertheless, they paid many times over for doing that. Some are just lustful, the lust of the eyes. They can't cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and they are filled with iniquity. And there are those that promise others liberty while they themselves are the children of iniquity and are in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. For the Bible said of that thing as to what a man is overcome by, he is the subject of that thing. So then, these are devils that I'm speaking of. They've got all kind of little tricks and all kind of things that they do. And they are ever talking to your mind. And they'll do anything to beguile you. They'll do anything to entice you like they did Eve. To draw you away from the steadfastness of the mind of Christ. And these devils and demons are all around you. Sometimes as it was with Legion, he was filled with devils. Sometimes as it was with Mary, seven devils in her. Sometimes there can be legions of devils around you and many, many devils on the inside of you. You can have all kinds of devils, a haughty devil, a contrary devil, a lust devil, a greedy devil, a gossip devil, a backbiting devil, all kinds of devils. You can just have all kinds of devils in you. And when the man of God meets you, he can feel that thing, that magnetic force of God goes out and runs over that thing, and my, the kickback comes. He can feel it. Feel it. Jesus could be speaking in his audience and all of a sudden devils would just start jumping up. Had that to happen in our service. I've even had it to happen here. But the thing is, those are devils. Devils and evil spirits. And that's why you don't have any faith with God. And that's why you don't have any power with God. And that's why you don't have any rest with God or any peace with God. That's why that you never excel in God to have any revelation or understanding of God. You know, like in the men's meeting, people go down to the men's meeting, and there they are in the men's meeting, and they're contrary to me. Like one was there the other night, this last men's meeting, sitting, staring me right in the face. An old hard spirit, wouldn't break, wouldn't conform, wouldn't mellow down, wouldn't submit. And I thought, Lord, that's a devil. And I kept on till finally it broke. But the same individual went out, and it wasn't long following that until they had problems in their home, and they sent word to Brother Pike, would he pray? Would he pray? See, because God didn't forget. You can't sit in the seat of the scornful, and you can't stand in the way of sinners, and you can't do these things that the world does and be a child of God. The Bible said you cannot eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. All of my tables are filled with vomit, he said. I'll spew you out of my mouth because you are lukewarm, he said. Somebody says, Brother Pike, preach revelation. This is revelation. Let's give him a hand. It's just been revealed to you that there are devils. All kind of devils have been revealed to you that some of them has got on you. Let's give him another hand. All right, so we want to get rid of devils and we don't want to give place to the devil. The Bible said don't give place to the devil. No, not for a minute. Don't give place to the devil. See, don't give place to the devil. Don't hang something up on your wall that's got nudeness in it. You know, I've said this before, and I think my people are pretty well seasoned along this line, but still in the world it's like this. Say, folks, get rid of those old dirty, filthy books. And somebody says, all right. Then they keep their riches and their seers and on down the line, you know, and they keep them. And you say, well, I don't think you need them either. Oh, they say he's a fanatic. You can't even get a book out of a store with naked men and women in it and look at it without him saying something. Let's give the Lord a hand. That ain't the way they say it, is it? That's the way I said it. So then they strained a gnat and swallowed a camel. Blind guides that lead the blind. They all fall into the ditch. See, what do we need to do? We need to do right. Isn't that right, folks? We need to do right. For now is made known to the church, these devils and demons, as to the prince of the powers of the air, that we wrestle with in our spirit. And now that we know about these things, and these things are revealed unto us, what must we do? We must put them away. Why must we put them away? Because we are now accountable to God. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. If you know, then the Bible said, to whom I've committed much, I require the more. And that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. Now, what are we talking about? Holiness, folks. And the Bible said to serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. For now is made known to the church. We're talking about revelation now. Now it's revealed. As to your condition, and my condition, and our neighbor's condition, and the church's condition, the preacher's condition, now is made known to us that we know. So then that means that we are gaining momentum. We've already left the launching pad, and we're out there in space now. We're moving on through these rims now, that place between heaven and earth. We've left Egypt behind, no more garlic and onions. We're on our way to Canaan, but the thing is, we've got to pass through the wilderness. See, and as we go through this middle wall or partition up here, God has broke it down. He has given us this power to do it by Christ. He's our capsule. All of these things were gathered into the ark of Noah so that he could pass from this world over here to that world over there, right through that rain and wrath. See, and we're in this little capsule called Jesus. We're in this body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the fullness of time, the Bible says that God will gather all things into Christ, which he did in the fullness of time. And so the fullness of time came, he did. Calvary, he did. That was the fullness of time, but that is time was no more. The angel said, time is no more. So the fullness of time, and here I am in the body of the Lord Jesus. And when you look at me, you don't see me anymore, because I died as a natural man at Calvary. I was buried and put away through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I am the resurrected one. I am alive forevermore. I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And it's not me living, but Christ. Not me speaking, but God speaking from within me. That the all should be taught of God, for God is within his temple. And so this body is moving. This body of Christ is a heavenly body. And from this launching pad where the fire was set off at Calvary, when God went down there to that great altar, God being a consuming fire, he set that thing off and it went like that, and away it went up to heaven. Up to heaven, and Christ ascending up to heaven, and away I went with him up to heaven. On the way from Calvary over to that last week of Daniel, here we are, we've sailed, we've gone up to heaven, and now we're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And now we're sitting in the heavenly places, and now we're no more in the flesh, no more these earthlings that we were in the past, no more in the lust of our flesh as we one time were, but we've excelled that. We've gone out of that. We're no more in that. We can't walk in the flesh anymore. But we're walking in Christ Jesus. We're walking in the heavenly places. We're having this wonderful time with our Savior. And we're rejoicing forevermore. And the devil, he is destroyed. The Bible said God hath destroyed him that had power over death. And now that devil is gone. He's no more to us. He's been cast out of our world, and he's no more to us. And he's down here in the world of lying vanities. Down there in the world of lying vanities. My body is dead to him. He hath no part over my body, and I have nothing to do with him, and he hath no part in me. And my spiritual being, my angelic being, has gone away and went back to heaven, to God that gave it. And there I am, sealed to where he can never touch me. And the Bible said all of these evil things will fall here and there, but they won't come nigh your dwelling. And so then we keep ourselves as the wonderful, spotless Lamb of God, as to the body of the Lord Jesus, and we're free from sin and condemnation. We're free from death. We're free from sickness. We're free from poverty. We're free from all of these things, and hath no power over us. Now, I say again, as to your value, it is determined as to your growth, as to your ego toward God, as to your submission, as to your concern, as to your conformity, as to your value, whatever you are, as to whether you are a child, or whether you are older, or whether you are of age in God. See, and the meat belongs to the strong, they that are full of age, and they that have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So then we're on a journey to another country, way out across the sea. See, and away we go with God. See, in the great, wonderful blessings of God. You know, some folks run from California to Florida, and that's a great trip for them, and they never get out of the national environment. Some stretch out a little farther, and they'll go all the way from California to India as an international voyage, heavenly voyage, you know. But then there are those that will leave the launching pad, and they'll go from here up to the moon. And as the ranger and the others on to the other planets, see, into the celestial, it is called. Sister Betty was telling me, some sister wrote her from out of Florida and said she'd had a dream. And in this dream, she saw a beautiful basket of fruit as to running over, and said she was partaking of this fruit and enjoying this fruit. And said she came out of this vision, and she was kind of caught maybe in a twilight condition. And she was in the vision, and she was out of the vision. She said, and she saw fruit again, another basket of fruit, but said this fruit was transparent. And she talked like that she was eating of this fruit, said the voice said, you've eaten of the other fruit, but now you're going to eat of this, I believe it said heavenly fruit or whatever it was. But anyway, celestial, you know, is shown as transparency. The transparency, which I believe it was the revelation of Jesus Christ, because she said she had been reading the tract, I believe, that had come from little Bethlehem, and it seemed to have reference back to this. So then we're eating the grapes of Eshkol. Let me say this right hurriedly. A lot of people You know, they're looking back into Egypt. They've never even got out of Egypt in their heart. They've turned back into Egypt in their heart. So they're automatically cut off. And they're still desiring to have money and worldly things and still desiring to do something to their physique or to their form and shape and faces. And they want to doll up with jewelry and everything else because their heart is still back in the world. Though they profess Christianity and though they're active. You know, these that came up with Israel, they came out of Egypt, came through the wilderness. And when they got ready to go into Canaan, the ground was so fertile on this side of Jordan until they just loved it. And they wanted to leave their little families and take their inheritance there and then go on over themselves into Canaan and fight with the others that they may get their inheritance over there, but they wanted to return after that. You know, these that come in, they taste of the heavenly gift, they're made partakers of the Holy Ghost, the rain on the just and the unjust, but down in their heart, they still have that old gullible desire of doing the things of the world. You know, and they have their money laid back here, and they have their treasures back here, and the Bible said wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart will be. So they left their wives there and their children there, and they left everything that they've got back there on the other side of Jordan. So when they fight, then they go back there and they take their inheritance. So there's a lot of people that's joined the church. A lot of people are with these forces going on with us until we come into our Canaan as to our inheritance. But they still are taking their inheritance back in the land of Esau. They're going back there to those fertile valleys. And as I say, I've taken Betty and I've stood on the banks of the Jordan and I've looked at those fertile valleys back there. And I said, Betty, can you see why that they would choose that? Because it was so beautiful. See, but they chose that. Some people have all kind of earthly treasures, earthly ambitions, education. They're celebrities, they're dignitaries, they're outstanding people in this world. And they want to stay on that side of Jordan. But I thank God for those that's willing to go on into the land of Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey. Let me say this in closing right here. Folks, some of those that went over as to spy out the land long before they crossed the Jordan, they came back and they said the giants are so great. They never talked about the milk nor the honey, nor the grapes of Eshcol and how they shined. All they could talk about was their problems and their oppositions. And the devil was about to beat their brains out, somebody said. And I just can't get ahead and I can't put things together. And all I do is have problems and problems and problems and problems. And they discouraged the heart of God's people so much. The Bible said that it disturbed God so greatly that God swore that they would not enter into his rest as to go over that Jordan and have the wonderful land of milk and honey. He swore that they would not do it. But when the time of the crossing came, though he let them die in the wilderness, yet he said to Caleb and Joshua, he said, my servant Joshua and Caleb, they have a different spirit. They're not of that discouraging spirit. Because old brother Joshua came back and Caleb said, glory to God, said that land is filled with milk and honey. And we're well able to take the land. Said, come on, folks. Let's prepare victuals and get ready to cross this Jordan. And the Bible said God poured out a little heaven on them. And they went over there and the heavens cast down those stones. And they won the battle. And God didn't even let it get dark until all their enemies was gone. All because they had faith in God. Just because they had faith in God. Folks, I think we need to pray through, don't you? As a matter of fact, my wife, she discouraged a little thing the other night, and I can't blame her with it because, you know, we get a little lethargy anyway, but I kept wanting to come up here and pray all night. I said, well, I just feel like I ought to go up to the church tonight and pray all night. And I said, it was cold. And I thought, well, I'll get somebody and we'll just pray all night. I'll get some of the brethren and we'll pray all night. And I looked outside to find some securities. I thought maybe I could get somebody to pray all night. And finally I said, well, maybe I better not. You know, you stick your head out the door and you see it's a little cool and you get a new leading. So I thought, well, maybe I feel led to stay here. But anyway, I went back and I was kind of tossed to and fro in my mind because I really wanted to come. And I thought, well, what I'll do, I'll get a confirmation maybe out of my wife. Sometimes you better not do that. But anyway, I said, Betty, I said, I just kind of feel like maybe I ought to go up there and pray all night. She said, well, why? She said, you got a prayer place in here. I said, well, I don't know. I just thought maybe I might get some of the brethren, Betty. She said, well, they got warm places at home where they can stay warm. I said, it's cold in that church. Well, anyway, after we counseled a little bit, I said, well, maybe I ain't supposed to go. So I didn't go. And I was telling some of them the next day, and they was asking me, said, what was this about you was wanting some of the brethren? And, of course, Pete came along. And Pete said, that's strange that you wanted to go up there and pray all night last night. Said, I had a dream that we went up there and prayed all night last night. Let's give the Lord a hand. I just said that to be sure you follow the right lead. So I gave myself a word of consolation. I said, now that proves that I was feeling right. And God just meant it for another time maybe. Let's give him another hand. All right. So we're going to try to make up for that somehow or another. All right, anyway, that's the way it is, folks. They say out in the world, tell it like it is, and that's the way it is. Sometimes we get our foot into it. Like David Paul said today, he got disturbed trying to get something done, and everybody's involved in your business, you know, when it ain't no business of theirs. And you have to call the insurance company, and you have to call the police, and you have to call this. Just to be able to do anything, you have to get everybody involved. And David said, it's the awfulest thing I've ever seen. He said, you have to go all the way around you. Elbow to get to your thumb, you know, when you go to do something today. And I thought that's a pretty good saying. I've heard that in the past. I didn't think too much about it. But today, it fits real good. You can't do anything without having everybody involved in it. All right, let's stand up together. Appreciate you coming out tonight. Didn't mean to take so long. I thought Sister Dale was going to do some recording today, but she didn't get to make it. Maybe I got something done, I don't know. It didn't look like I got much done, but think back, maybe there was a few little things that I done that might have been of interest to God or might have been a benefit to somebody. Okay, now, I want you to pray with me. The King's kids are coming to visit. According to their title, it's the King's kids. And according to my understanding, we already got the King's children here with us. But they're coming, and maybe they're just some of them that's coming to visit with us. But they're coming down here, and they're going to sing for you. They tell me that they were real respectful when they were here before, that they were good, godly entertainment as to the love of God and to trying to get over something for the benefit of the soul, and that they were very fine people, musically inclined. I didn't get to hear them. I wasn't here, and I didn't get to hear them. But anyway, if that's the way it is, then I want to have something here that's good for you. Say that they dress properly. And then, of course, the Seagulls are supposed to be here with us. They're coming down to be with us. Naomi called and asked us if they could come up a certain time, and I told him yes, because when I knew these people, they were clean, upright, holy people, as far as I know, when I was around them and knew them. And I did notice that in the picture that they sent up, that she was dressed godly. Not as much so as you, but about like Brother Branham's following, I guess. And the man, although the ones that was in the picture seemed to be fine and was dressed nice. And some of you, maybe you've seen him, I don't know. But I do know that she has cut her hair off to some extent as to what it was when I knew it. Whereas I believe in the long hair. I believe that a woman ought to have long hair. And I know I've had people, you know, they want to say, well, God is not in the hair, God is in the heart. And I believe that. I really believe that. I mean, I accept that. But I also know that when Samson cut his hair off, God left his heart. He got in trouble. He lost his sight, and he found himself down in the dungeon grinding for his enemies. So the hair apparently played a part in it. And just as Samson's seven locks represented the church ages and the seven spirits of God as to the strength, which is the glory of God, and the woman's hair represents the glory of God, that is to say the strength of Christ in her husband's life, or that is, her hair represents the government of that husband that hath control of her. And the Bible said the government is to be upon the shoulders. And when you clip off that hair, it is a reproach to your husband in that it shows his government or control gone from you. When the Bible says that the woman is to love her husband, love him to the extent that, as it was with Abraham's wife, she called him Lord, whose daughters ye are, the Bible said, if you do well without any amazement. And the Bible said, wives, so love your husband even as the Lord. Of course, we don't have too many around that does that, if any, but nevertheless, that's the charge. And I guess one of the reasons we don't have too many of them around that love their husband as the Lord is because the Bible said, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I guess we don't have too many husbands around that loves their wife as Christ loved the church. So I know Christ wanted to be with the church forever. Some of you can't hardly stand to stay with your wife a few hours. You're roaming around like wild animals. And that's bad. But nevertheless, this is what I'm trying to explain to you, that the woman does have short hair. And we've invited her up. Whereas I can stop it, I've got lots of ways to stop it. Somebody says, aha, Brother Pike. Oh, no, I got lots of ways to stop it. So how would you ever do that? I just call them up and say, don't come. You love the Lord? That's one of the major ways right there. But nevertheless, there's numbers of ways. There's people like Brother Walden that would be delighted to have them to come over. If I just gave him a buzz, I feel sure. And then there's auditoriums in town that can be rented. And there's just so many ways it can be done. But I haven't as of yet had the Lord to defer the thing in any other direction. I'm praying about it, asking the Lord sincerely to let me know what he'd like to do. Because at this time, there's a revelational thing taking place. Naomi went out full. She returned empty. I remember preaching to these people old time holiness. And they even cut some records. I remember one of them, I believe, was telling in the singing how that the women had raised their dresses above their knees and put earrings in their ears and put on jewelry and bobbed their hair. So, but nevertheless, times and seasons changes things. So, she went out full, but her husband died, just like the Naomi of the Bible. And all of the seagulls that was with her, all of them are gone. There's no one left but her, other than the family that has come along later. So then leaving, as what was full in that time when we told them about Jesus, now it's like she's coming back home to the right thing and coming back empty. But as it was, just about this time, Pete has drawn the artwork for one of our books, and the cover of it is the return of Ruth back to Bethlehem. And of course he put our little Bethlehem out there in the picture, and she's got some flowers that looks like a bridal bouquet. You didn't mean it for that, but that's what it looks like, because really that's what she represents as to the bride of Boaz, the great rich man. And Naomi, as to the return back to that land, as to the Jews going off full when they left God, and they're coming back empty. And of course, they came back in the time of the barley harvest, which has to do with the resurrection, the very thing I'm preaching on tonight. We've come to the church has come down to the end of the trail to the extent that now the resurrection and the life is at hand. Paul said, the casting away of Naomi be the reconciling of the others, then what will the receiving of Naomi be but the resurrection or life from the dead? Oh, that is, it says, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? So coincidentally or not, I believe it to be divine providence. Here Pete is drawing this picture of Ruth's return, and here comes Naomi. So in seeing this, I know that it is the work and act of God, because at the same time, here comes the king's kids. And these things we watch continually as every little thing in different places that fits together so wonderfully as a piece of the puzzle here, there, and wherever. These coming together, they form a great thing. And God has his way in the good and evil, and everything goes along, you know, according to his plans. Whereas somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I think that that would be wrong. Well, perhaps you're right. And if you're right, you need to pray for me. You need to pray for me, because I'm only looking at it like Jesus did when he said, I chose 12 and one of you is a devil. But he let him go along with the crowd to do what God wanted to do. So the act of compromising is not God. So it's obvious that Jesus did not compromise, for he did always the things that pleased the Father. So that must have pleased the Father. And how else could the betrayal come had it not been that? And would not God have been so merciful that he would have given the man every chance not to have done what he'd done before the devil entered into him and he went out into the darkness? But nevertheless, that doesn't have anything to do with it. We're preaching against sin, and sin is sin. And yet we have people to come to our place that need a physician. Jesus said it's not the well that need a physician, but the sick. So then we have sick folks coming here that need a physician. And I make a lot of allowance sometimes. A lot of allowance. Some people don't shorten their hair, they shorten their dresses. Let's give the Lord a hand. I got some at Bethlehem like that. They keep shortening them over and over. And the reason for that is because it's in their heart. But anyway, we got people that won't shorten their dresses, but they're bad about gossiping. They're bad about backbiting. They're gullible, selfish, won't share. Let their neighbors go hungry, whatever. Let the work of God go lacking and won't share. We have musicians that come up here that's wallowed in the mire. And we have them that are up here just about half and half. And sometimes I have to put them out after a while of working with them. I see that they're not going to do right. I give them a chance and then I have to put them out. We have people on the campground that, as I say, they want to watch the wrong thing, talk about the wrong thing, go to the wrong places, and don't have any experience as to fasting and praying, self-denial, or conforming to holiness, or whatever. And some that's bad about watching TV on the campground or off the campground, wherever they get the chin, as to non-virtuous things and reading non-virtuous books. And we've got some here that get so upset, almost indignant with Brother Taylor when he doesn't want to bring them their Sears catalogs and all this other junk that comes through the mail. From every source, you know, it was an agreement that when we come here, all that be thrown in the trash before it come on his way, and on and on and on. And we've got people of all kind, and if I kept on, I'd surely find the house you live in. But nevertheless, we can gang up on her and really let her know where we stand, because she's got some of her hair missing. Let's get a load of that way she'll know what we stand for. I didn't get too much applause. I wonder what happened there. All right, well, maybe you don't feel that way about it. If you don't feel that way about it, let's give the Lord a hand. I even got less applause, so you must do feel that way about it. Yeah, you say, well, Brother Pike, what it is, I'm confused. I don't know what you're clapping your hands about. Well, I told you. If you listen and get confused, Jesus said, if I talk to you about earthly things and you don't understand, how in the world are you going to understand spiritual things or heavenly things? So we see where we're at. We really don't know where we're at, do we? We don't really know where we're at. All right. If I ask you to let's give the Lord a hand, if you don't know where you're at, I wonder what would happen. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. I said, well, are you mocking me? No, I'm just trying to explain the situation. If you're going to explain it, you explain it. If not, I'm going to stand here until I can figure out what we're doing. So I think that what it is, you know, I can take a psychological approach and Through a little psychology, I can compromise and talk you right out of it to where you wouldn't even know I was compromising. I have you agreeing with me. So I said, oh, no, not me. Well, I didn't get the hand clap either way, so that means you ain't going either way. If you didn't clap against it, then that means you're for it. And if you didn't clap for it, that means you're against it. And if you didn't clap neither way, that means you're confused. And the Bible said confusion's of the devil. Somebody says hallelujah. Come on. Now, which is worse, to have short hair or be confused? Can you give the Lord a hand? All right, so let's just have the love of God and do whatever we can. Work with the pastor and help the pastor, knock the hypocrite around and do the wrong thing. And let's see what we can come up with about this short hair. I got a feeling she can sing just as good with the hair short as she can long. She's probably, they've been singing for about 30 years. But I would like to see the woman converted in that I can tell that she is backslid. And someone would say, Brother Pike, like somebody asked me up there yesterday, said, what do you mean backslid? I said, well, the Bible said I'll heal your backsliding. So really a Christian can't backslide. He said he's healed that backsliding. I said, but the reason I use the term backslid, if you're not as far along up the trail today as you was yesterday, that means you've drifted back, and that's backslide. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, you couldn't do that. You'd go to hell. Well, the Bible said a good man will fall 7 times and get back up. He's still a good man. Let's give the Lord a hand. So I guess he could drift back a little bit and still be a Christian. But anyway, the water gets deeper the further we go. And I want to try to help the sick. They need a physician. So I'd like to see the girl, when I say backslid, come back to the place she one time was. Quite a number of promotional sheets of the great people around the different parts of the nation that has really complimented them because they're outstandingly famous. As a matter of fact, I think there was about the first group, was it? The Sacred Group, Gospel Group. I read that sold 1 million records. And these people have praised her in giving articles and writing and signing their name to it as being the first lady of gospel music and of being a real, genuine Christian, of holding to God through these experiences. Whereas that's true, I'm sure it must be to a great extent. And they tell me her husband is a fine man too. I don't know because I haven't been around him in a long time, so I don't really know what to expect. I've had some things up here and I got surprised like a jack out of the box. But nevertheless, I gave them the benefit of the doubt and I tried to work with them. And if God has something in Naomi coming at this time, if this has to do with the resurrection, it's to the barley harvest when they wave their little chunk of barley as one God, Jesus, the fullness. And been 40 days later, Jesus gone away. 10 days later, he comes back making 50 days, as to say, the 7 weeks, as to the 49 days and one inclusive, as to Pentecost, making 50. Then the wheat harvest, as to that which was ground that we received by measure. But the Jews, as to oneness, a nation born in one day. That is to say, Jesus comes and the whole nation accepts him as the barley harvest. So we're right along about that as to the barley harvest now, as to the stride of the Spirit. We're right about the barley harvest now. And that has to do with the Lord Jesus. And we could say a whole lot. We could stand here and say a whole lot because I'm only beginning to touch on the revelation of many things that I'd like to share with you. Even tonight, could share many things with you tonight because the mind of revelation is here. But nevertheless, we're talking about a group coming to sing. And think, if you'd pray with me, ask the Lord what to do. We'll do the best that we can with it and see if God will help us to know what's the best thing to do and not to miss him, not to get in the way of what he's doing. And yet not to entertain any thoughts that would be unlike him or to project anything that would not honor his name. I'm sure, feel reasonably sure, that when they come, they're going to get to praising the Lord and they're going to get to singing and you're going to forget about the short hair. I just got a feeling that everybody will except the, what they call them, the agnostics. But I feel like the rest of them, that they're going to get to looking at the praises of God and say, well, that old unjust woman, believe it or not, the rain's coming down on her too. And, you know, just take her for a playmate and go right on splattering in the rain. But in the event that you don't, well, there's a song that says to each his own. You just pray that I'll do the right thing in the event that we have her here. Or if the Lord says no, then I won't have her here. And this will give you something to pray over. Because now you don't know whether I want her or don't want her. So you can pray about it. To them that really love me, you will just pray and say, Lord, help us. Help us to be one mind, one accord, and reveal it to my pastor, and reveal it to me, and let us walk along here together in that a divided kingdom can't stand. Let us just be one unit, and let us get in here, and whatever it takes to carry the word of God, let's carry it, even if there's a Judas in the midst of us. Do you reckon we've got one? Anybody think there might be a Judas in the midst of us? Would you raise your hand if you thought there might be one in the midst of us? Oh, we've got some folks that believe they're in the midst of us. I could say, if you know that, don't you believe in casting out the devil? But I better not do that. You might get exuberant in the wrong way. But believe it or not, Paul said there are false brethren among us, and there are false sisters among us. There are some of you sisters are false, and some of you brethren are false. And Paul said, I was in peril of false brethren. But they're still good brethren. They're still good godly people and holy people and people that are trying to do right. So you good God people, you get down on your knees and you talk to the Lord and ask the Lord to purge out the old leaven, make us a new lump and get rid of all these people that's got their mind and desires in the world and help us to know what to bring in here and what not to bring in here. And at the same time, let's show mercy that we might receive mercy and work this thing out the right way. All right, you can cast lots if you like they did when they found the Jonah. You can write a little note and say, well, this is what I think about it, Brother Pike. Might be good if every one of you wrote a little note and just tell me what you think about it, since you don't know what I think about it. And I might, as Paul said, being crafty, I might catch you with God. All right. You love the Lord? I believe that's Jonathan back there. Raise your hand, John. That's John back there. I'm glad to have him here. Jim was telling me that he was going to be with us over the weekend. I'm certainly glad to have him. I've been praying every night. Send Jonathan home. Every night. Hardly a night goes by. I pray, send Jonathan home. So Jonathan, come home. I'm also praying for God to send David Durden home. And also praying night after night to send Junior home. And I believe it'll come to pass. We decree a thing in our heart. Don't blame God with all our problems. And we believe it'll come to pass. I'm glad to see Pat back. I said today if Pat didn't come home, I was going to send for him. So he's back home. Glad to have Pat back. He went to visit with some of his relatives. And I'm sure he must have testified to him about the love of the Lord. Also glad to see Gerald back here with us, who comes fairly regular with us, and I appreciate him coming to be with us. You, if I don't see you, if I happen to overlook you, I want you to know that we appreciate you, we love you, and we haven't forgot that you're standing. Like I say, I've been standing all this time. You'll learn to appreciate me, won't you? All right, let's sing, Sister Dale. Sister Dale, she's going to be all right. Let's sing together, Sweep Over My Soul. Now everybody that's upset at me, you can help David pay for his jet by giving him a nice offering. And everybody that's not, you can just pray and we'll believe the Lord for the money. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right, let's sing a song together. I'm just saying things to you to let you know, that God is good. And when you are in a sad condition, you know what happened? You're to blame. You're to blame. Don't blame anybody when you're cast down and feeling bad and sad. Somebody says, well, I blame the devil. No, you don't have any right to blame anybody. The Bible said concerning the devil that when he came for the body of Moses, and the angel of the Lord rebuked him. He never brought railing accusations, not even against the devil. So then it wasn't the devil, it was Eve that let the devil in. It's not the devil. The Bible said for you not to give place to the devil. And when you give place to the devil, then there's no need to feel bad at anybody but you, because the devil isn't the one that's going to be blamed for it. You're going to be blamed for it. The devil's already had his expulsion, and God broke his fellowship with the devil. And he's already poured out his wrath on the devil as to that which is to come to pass. And it's you that's given the golden opportunity of denying self. And when you do that, you don't give place to the devil. And when you don't give place to the devil, then as it will be said in the millennium, and nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. All right, let's place the blame where it's to be placed. And let's sing this little chorus, "Sweep Over My Soul." Rejoice forevermore. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Savior, sweep over my soul. For this rest, it is complete. While I sit, sweep over my soul. I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. I'd like to say that we're glad to have Ricky Banks here tonight. Ricky's been here a time or two before, and I didn't recognize him or know he was here. But I really love Rick. Ricky kind of drifted off for a little bit, but he was such a tremendous figure here at Bethlehem. And when we worked through the cold night after night and day after day, putting in those big pillars down at what they call the Father's House, the number one man was Rick Banks. There were others that did some things that were outstanding that stood with me, but the number one man was Rick Banks. And he stayed there from the beginning to the end. He helped dig the holes. He helped build the cages. He helped put the steel together, weld the steel. He helped put up the forms. He helped make the cement. And he helped pour the pillars. It was an exciting thing to me to see a person with such perseverance and diligence as a young man stand at a post of duty and quit like a man. He never quit until we finished him. But while I was gone away for a few days, there's an old saying that the cattle play or the mice will play while the cat's away. And of course, there was some things done, said, and whatever, and discouragement came, and of course, Rick drifted on. But I'm glad to see he's back these several times, and I hope God can get a hold of Rick's heart. I hope that Rick will yield his heart to God again as he has in the past. Joe McLean yielded his heart, and Joe's been with us a number of times since then. He was in men's meeting the other night. I think perhaps some of them thought I was a little harsh in men's meeting the other night. It might have been a little distorting to them, because I told them it was foolishness that they would close down a Christian school over a frivolous little requirement as to what had been required to keep the school going. And I think maybe they thought I was a little harsh. But as to the theme of our thinking there, the Lord wants to bless us, and he's willing to help us and work with us. But folks, it's going to take a little perseverance. It's going to take a little time. It's going to take a little effort. It's like I was telling the brethren, maybe I'll pick up my thoughts there, maybe not. But anyway, I was telling some of them, you know, we all want the cream, we want the honey, we want the cake. We want the goodies of life. We want the preeminence. We want to be in the spotlight. And we want to be the one that is in control. We want all of the brilliance of life. But we don't want to travail. We don't want to deny ourselves. We don't want to sacrifice. And this is so alarming to God, because that's what Jesus did. And we're supposed to be like Jesus. That's what it's all about, is to deny ourselves and give our bodies a living sacrifice for his service, and that he gave his for us, that he might save us. Then we give ours to him, that we might save someone else. That seems reasonable. If his spirit is within us, has the same spirit that was in him, if it took that body to Calvary for someone, then wouldn't it take my body to Calvary for someone? Otherwise, it wouldn't be the same spirit as to the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his spirit is the same. So then we see these things, and it's alarming to think that we don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to lay down anything that we want. We just want a social life. Even the preachers of today, you know, they don't want to sacrifice. Preachers of yesteryear, the thing that they thrived on was fasting and prayer. Self-denial. Well, we hear again the altar call. Are you ready to pray all night? I said, we think I'll pray all night. I got a feeling if I did, by morning I'd have a number of you missing. I just got a feeling I'd have a number of you missing. Matter of fact, I got a feeling that a number of you would go out the door when I said amen here as to the benediction. I got a feeling, because some of you married a wife and some of you bought a piece of ground and a home, and some of you you have a job and a business, and some of you have one thing then another, and I'm sure that you'd have to be there. Like a man that wanted to bury his dead father one time and told Jesus how important it was, and Jesus just said, well, let the dead bury the dead. You just follow me. So I could say, let your business take care of itself. And let the wife look out for herself, in that Peter and them said, Lord, we've left all. We've left the wife. We've left everybody. And inasmuch as your family, it could say, well, Abraham laid his son on the altars for God, and was willing to give up his life. And then we could say, well, Brother Pike, it's a matter of having food. You know, we're going to have food over at our house. Well, our good says, like the little widow, you know, Elijah took the last bit she had. And who knows but what after the night prayer meeting that your barrel might fill up, might not give out anymore. But I'm sure that you've got some different thoughts about it, so we're going to let you think the way that you want to think. But it's our job to kind of bring you to recognition as to what the Bible is, or the mind of Christ, as to seek to know, as to seek the kingdom first. That's why a lot of us don't have these other things. They've never been added unto us because we didn't seek the kingdom first. If you'd have sought the kingdom first, you'd have got the right kind of husband. If you'd have sought the kingdom first, you'd have got the right kind of wife. If you'd have sought the kingdom first, you'd have had the right kind of life, blessings, and wouldn't have had all the woes and problems you've got. I know. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, did you seek the kingdom first before you got your wife? I sure did. I gave my heart to God, and then I went and prayed earnestly before God for my wife. And I prayed earnestly before God that He would not give me Sister Betty if she wasn't the right one for me. I prayed earnestly to God. And I said, if she is, then that's what I want. So I got the right one. I've had a happy life. Somebody said, well, have you ever had any problems? You would call it sackfuls, troubles. Jesus, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. But you know what I can say? I've never had any problems that anyone caused me other than myself. Someone said, well, I think people can cause you trouble, Brother Pike, and you haven't done anything. Well, I have them from overseas. I have them from all around. I don't have to get near them. I don't have to read their mail. I don't have to support them. I don't have to pray for them. I don't have to do anything. I can go on my way and do what I want to. If I have a wreck, I could have prevented it by not being there when it happened. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, the Bible said, ask of the Lord, He'll direct your path. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll direct your path. And he that keepeth his mind stayed on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace, for all the paths of God are peace. You love the Lord? The altars are still open. We're going to sing another little chorus or two here. And in that there's death in the pot, we're going to pour a little oil and wine in the wound and see if we can do something about it. Can we sing, Sister Dale? Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine with my soul. I was bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. He poured in the oil. Sing with me. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding, dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the oil. Sing one more time. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restored my soul. Found me bleeding, dying on the Jericho. Poured in the oil and the wine. You know, as to the music, I'll probably let Brother David Paul handle that, and Sister Dale. I still like to sing and peck on the guitar and do a little something here and there. But I left the field of music and entertainment years ago, the real young man. And I've never looked back in that direction as to those things, to take those things up. And I'll let them handle that, and we'll see how everything works out. Jesus gave her some water, wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, she went forth to tell.
When I was singing and she came back bringing others to the water, wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, she went forth to tell. When I was singing and she came back bringing others to the water, wasn't from the well. Well, Jesus gave her water, it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, she went forth to tell. Went away singing and she came back bringing others to the water, wasn't from the well. You love the Lord? Jesus gave her water. Let's sing this little song, The Stone Is Rolled Away, can we? Gone, that stone is rolled back, gone. Tomb's empty, gone. Who sit at my Father's side? Oh, it's gone. Oh, my dear, it's gone. Sin is faded, gone, and he lives forevermore. For it's gone, and the storm is rolled back, gone. The tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, it's gone. Oh, the death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore. Gone, the heart of stone is rolled back, gone. This tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, of a death triumphant, gone. Sin is faded, gone. My Lord lives forevermore. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, people must be led no longer in the wilderness to wander. Egypt bondage flee, and when you reach the other side, you shall be free. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. My Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, these people must be led no longer in the wilderness to wander. From Egypt bondage flee, and when you reach the other side, you'll be free. Like I was saying today to somebody, all you got to do is cross over the Jordan. Cross over the Jordan. Moses said to Joshua, be strong, Joshua. God said, Joshua, be of good courage, and you'll divide this land to these people. Be strong, Joshua, and you'll take these people over the Jordan. But be strong. Be courageous. My spirit shall go before thee, and I shall not forsake thee nor leave thee. Be strong. And you know, that's what God is wanting you to do and me to do. When we meet somebody, be courageous in battle. Be strong. Overthrow the powers of the enemy. Free that man. Have a sharp sword. Paul said, put on the full armor of God, having your loins girt about with the truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith, that you might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And be valiant. Be strong in fight. And God will subdue your enemies. And you'll take that individual over that old carnal mind of resentment and fault finding. And you'll drive those devils out. And you'll put 1,000 to flight. And you'll free them people from their old intellectual way of life as to the gravitational forces that binds them to that carnality and the beggarly elements of this world as to the old bonds child way of life. You'll free them, and they'll find themselves over in the mind of Christ, and the Jordan will be behind them. The Jordan will be behind them, and they'll be in that new harvest. The new harvest. Right now, everything is shaping up real good. When the eagle came over from Hawaii, Brother Mike sent us that eagle from Hawaii. When it came over from Hawaii, it had some broken wing tips. We worked with it and fixed it until it's nice and everything's just so-so. There's not anything that's missing, and they're to the point where you can't hardly tell it. So when they brought it, I said, you know, this must have to do with that eagle. The one that I saw at the Ensign, we had our tent there and we had the visions and whatever. And I took from across the way these feathers and put them together. And you remember the vision. The brethren won't like it, but nevertheless, we put them together. And we completed the eagle. And strange that this eagle, when we put the little feathers together, they took it to what they called the Father's house. Like a completion of those things that we said we could do by faith in God. And there it sits. There it sits. We could say many things as referring to the eagle nation as America, as Brother Branham referred to the prophets as eagles, and God's people as eagles that reach great heights, that make their nest among the rocks, and that renew their youth and their strength by breaking the old crust of the intellectual reasoning off, as we would say, spiritually speaking, by beating it on a rock. A smiting of the head of the serpent. An eagle will take a serpent. I've seen films of it where they'll catch a serpent and they'll fly and they'll beat his head on a rock. And they'll do their head the same way. They'll beat their heads till they become bloody and burst off the crust. And that's what you need to do. You need to get to the rock of Christ Jesus and keep bumping your head on the word, that old intellectual head, bumping it until after a while that old intellectual reasoning breaks off and it's not you and your thoughts, but it's his. And then spread your wings for a flight. When the storms come, don't take the tuck head and let the wind drive you down to destruction. Throw your head back, spread your wings, and just ride the wind and go higher and higher until you're way up above the storm. Let's sing that little chorus, can we? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle.
run, not be weary, they'll walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to the way.
Can you see?
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings wide. Can you? And not be weary, they'll walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord.
Can you sing it one more time with me?
They that wait upon my Lord shall with wings wide, can he run and not be weary? They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait.
Can you sing one more time?
Shall mount up with wings wide and eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord.
Let's sing, I love him. Can we? Can we? You just praise the Lord. Let God have his way. Don't quench the spirit. Praise the Lord. Love the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the way the gifts come. I love him. That's the reason that the God, the Lord don't use us, or God don't use us in the spirit. We're too cold, cut, too formal, too dry, filled with too much formality, not flexible with the moving of the spirit. You love him? Sing that song. All together again.
I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Let's sing Amazing Grace now.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. All I want was a rose, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was drugs. That I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when this battle, I'd like to ask Brother Jerry to come up and dismiss us if he will. I'll wear a crown, I'll wear a crown, I'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes? Bright and shiny crown. Give him a wave off. I'm gonna wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Can you sing it again with me? Wear a crown.